ServiceNow is the intelligent platform that puts AI to work for people across every corner of your business, all in a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow.
Apple unveils its new iPhones and watches and higher price tags. Plus, more U.S. banks are loading up on brokered deposits. Why that's raising concerns.
Regulators are concerned about concentrations of any kind at a bank, including brokered deposits. A key thing here is that we're seeing some smaller regional banks rise above a level that regulators are comfortable with.
And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy launches an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. It's Tuesday, September 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Bernard Looney, the CEO of oil giant BP, has resigned less than 4 years after taking the job and embarking on an ambitious and controversial plan to put BP at the vanguard of the global transition to renewable energy. Looney's resignation comes as a surprise. In a statement, BP said he was not fully transparent about past personal relationships with colleagues. BP said his departure is immediate. Apple is pushing further into its strategy of getting people to pay more for their iPhones. The company unveiled a new slate of iPhones and watches at an event in Cupertino, California today. The iPhone 15 lineup features mostly incremental upgrades. The new devices will also come with a heftier price tag. The iPhone Pro Max will start at $1,199 for the 256-gigabyte model. That's up $100 from last year's iPhone 14 Pro. The new devices will have USB-C ports. Apple highlighted the fact that now the same cord can charge your Mac, iPad, and AirPods. U.S. malls have been hit hard by the pandemic, and recovery has proven to be slow. Older, low-end malls have plummeted in value. But for high-end malls, it's a bit of a different story. Some of them are faring better. In fact, the European owner of Westfield Malls is making an about-face. Instead of dropping most of its American portfolio as it was planning, it's now holding on to some of its top-performing malls. For more on those plans by Europe's largest mall operator, I'm joined now by real estate reporter Kate King. Kate, it's been a while since we chatted about the health of U.S. malls. Are we seeing more of a divergence between low-end and high-end? What's the status right now?
Even before the pandemic, low-end malls were really struggling as tenants left and people stopped shopping in malls the way they used to in the past. Malls that have a good variety of tenants in them, which are newer, well-located, with updated facilities, are actually doing quite well right now. Some retailers have started to report early signs of consumer spending pullback, maybe some people trading down to lower-priced products. However, high-end malls have found a way to keep people coming back to the mall, and that's probably by diversifying their tenants. So they have a lot of luxury tenants, and luxury is a segment that performs pretty well regardless of when there's pullbacks in consumer spending, since high-net-worth individuals tend to continue buying pricey handbags and other luxury items. And also, high-end malls have really brought in a lot of restaurants as well as entertainment tenants. And so this mix of different attractions keeps people coming back to the mall.
So what is the owner of Westfield Malls planning to do in the U.S.?
Westfield Malls said at the beginning of last year that they were going to exit the U.S. They were planning to radically reduce their exposure to America, and that involved selling off a lot of their properties. So Westfield Malls has sold off a fair number of its lower, less well-performing properties in closed malls in the U.S. However, they've held on to all of their flagships. And this includes really successful properties like Westfield Century City in Los Angeles and the Westfield Garden State Plaza in northern New Jersey. The reason they've held on to these malls is twofold. On the one hand, these malls are doing better than expected. Enclosed malls were closed for an extremely long period of time during the pandemic, probably longer than most other forms of real estate. But when they reopened, high-end, what are known as Class A malls, have done quite well. So Westfield's been a little surprised by the performance of its U.S. malls. In some respects, this performance might be outperforming its European properties, but at the same time, they are still planning to leave the U.S., and they are planning to sell their malls. They're just not feeling the time crunch that they felt last year.
Is this indicative of what's happening in the broader industry?
Yes, high-end malls are doing well in the U.S. right now, compared certainly with low-end malls, and kind of on par with other forms of retail, which has really seen a resurgence since the pandemic for a variety of factors. Simon Property Group, which is one of the biggest operators of U.S. malls, is reporting strong demand from tenants. And same with Macerich, another owner of high-end malls in the U.S. And foot traffic to these malls is also performing pretty well.
I've been speaking with real estate reporter Kate King. Americans brought home less money last year as surging inflation and COVID-19 disruptions ate into household income gains. Americans' inflation-adjusted median household income fell to $74,580 last year, a decline of 2.3% from the 2021 estimate. It's the third straight year U.S. incomes have fallen. Here now to talk about it is Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Overberg. Paul, what do these figures tell us about the economic challenges that American households are facing?
Well, they tell us that even if your paycheck and income is rising, that obviously inflation, which surged last year, chewed away a good chunk of that. And a lot of Americans are just not doing as well at the middle point as they were a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic.
What else does the data tell us about how different demographic groups are faring? Who's doing better and who's doing worse, according to this latest estimate?
We saw that women who work full-time year-round last year made about 84 cents for every dollar that men who worked full-time year-round made. That's pretty much the same as 2021. And in broader income terms, Asian Americans have the highest median household income, and Black and Hispanic Americans have the lowest median household income.
What's the expectation for this year?
Well, inflation has slowed down a lot in the last year, and if it does continue to sort of cool and earnings are going up, it looks like there might actually be a gain, but it's still too early to tell.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Overberg. On Capitol Hill, U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has launched a formal impeachment inquiry into President Biden, citing allegations of corruption ahead of the 2024 elections. McCarthy didn't announce that he would hold a vote on the matter, contrary to his previous comments that no probe would be announced without a vote. The GOP's hard right members have been pushing McCarthy for such an investigation, but others have expressed doubts about doing so and whether it could hurt Republicans in 2024. Republicans have been looking into whether the president played a role in or benefited from his son Hunter's overseas business affairs. The White House has said Biden wasn't party to his son's business affairs and has done nothing wrong. No evidence has emerged to show the president benefited from his son's endeavors, nor that he wielded government authority to favor them. Coming up, the risky deposits some banks are using and why they have regulators concerned. More after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
U.S. banks are loading up on what are known as brokered deposits. That's when a bank goes to a third-party broker like Morgan Stanley or Fidelity to find customers to invest in its high-yielding certificates of deposit. And U.S. banks collectively held more than $1.2 trillion in these types of deposits in the second quarter, a whopping 86% increase from a year earlier. That's according to a Wall Street Journal analysis of data from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC. Here now to explain is Wall Street Journal banking reporter Gina Hebe. Welcome, Gina.
Thanks for having me.
So, Gina, why are we seeing such a huge increase in the use of broker deposits?
So the Federal Reserve started to raise interest rates last year at a really aggressive pace. That has made deposits a lot more competitive for banks to come by. So they're looking for other types of funding, and broker deposits are one of those. Broker deposits can be a quick and easy fix for banks if they are seeing customer deposits fall. Banks are able to buy them in bulk rather than customer by customer, so they can get really large amounts. And they also don't require collateral like Federal Reserve or other types of funding that banks can turn to.
So those are some of the benefits for banks. Still, some consider broker deposits a risky bet. Why is that?
Broker deposits, by nature, are more expensive. They come with much higher interest rates that banks have to pay out. They also can come with higher insurance fees. Because they're seen as a little bit more risky, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp charges more to insure these deposits. The reason being they're seen as a type of hot money. So they can be flightier than other types of deposits because they don't come with customer relationships. And they also come with some capital requirements that banks have to meet in order to hold them.
Are regulators concerned about that?
So regulators are concerned about concentrations of any kind at a bank, including broker deposits. A key thing here is that we're seeing some smaller regional banks rise above a level that regulators are comfortable with. That's around 10% of bank deposits. And once banks surpass that level, regulators get a little bit wary.
Why does the use seem to be more widespread at smaller banks?
The interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve have been particularly challenging for these Main Street banks. And the recent bank failures that we saw this spring made some customers more hesitant to keep money in smaller banks and prompted some customers to go to only, you know, the money centers like J.P. Morgan and Bank of America. And they don't have the sort of fee-based models that some of the bigger players do. So those interest rate pressures are really hard on them.
And it seems rating agencies are concerned as well.
Yeah, S&P Global and Moody's downgraded a number of regional banks this summer, and broker deposits were just one thing that they mentioned because of these higher costs that they come with and because they tend to be flightier than regular deposits.
Wall Street Journal banking reporter Gina Heeb, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Advisors to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have endorsed COVID-19 boosters for everyone 6 months old and above as cases increase heading into the fall months. The Food and Drug Administration had cleared the updated boosters from Pfizer and Moderna on Monday. An advisory panel to the FDA has found that an ingredient widely used in oral decongestants is ineffective. That's cleared the way for the potential removal of dozens of products that use the ingredient phenylephrine from U.S. stores. The ingredient is nearly a century old, meaning it didn't go through the rigorous clinical trials regulators now require for medications. Phenylephrine is used in versions of Benadryl, Mucinex, Tylenol, and other over-the-counter pills, syrups, and liquids used to clear up stuffed noses, coughs, and other symptoms of congestion. The makers of those drugs, Kenvue and Reckitt Benckiser Group, didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. The FDA doesn't have to follow the recommendations of its advisory panels, but it often does. In other news, lawyers representing Dow Jones, the publisher of The Wall Street Journal, have requested that a United Nations group declare reporter Evan Gerskovich arbitrarily detained and asked it to appeal to Russia to release him. In a letter to the UN's Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, the lawyers accused Russian President Vladimir Putin of using Gerskovich as a pawn and, quote, holding him hostage. Gerskovich is being held in a Moscow prison on an allegation of espionage, which he, the journal, and the U.S. government vehemently deny. The Kremlin didn't immediately respond to a request for comment on the letter. And finally, would you like to own a bridge? Well, it turns out that you can. When states replace bridges, they're usually torn down. But if a bridge is listed as an historical landmark, federal law requires the state's transportation department to try to preserve it. To comply, they post their soon-to-be-replaced bridges online, hoping to entice someone to adopt one. And depending on where you live, you could even get one for free. But what do you do with a bridge if you get one? Our reporter David Harrison has more.
A lot of times they go on trail networks, so you'll be sort of on a hiking trail and you'll see this old bridge crossing a stream or something, and that bridge used to be a road bridge. That happens a lot. Sometimes they go to golf courses where you can ride over them on your golf carts, but you couldn't, say, ride over them on a big, heavy truck because they're just not sturdy enough for that anymore. And then in some cases, people just buy them, take them, and put them on their backyard, you know, on their property. If they like how they look, or they have a little pond they want to cross, or they want to cross like a stream until they get to their house, and they put them in their properties.
But remember, before you get your free bridge to its new home, you'll have to move it first, and that could end up costing you. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Anthony Bansi, with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.